Blog Talk Radio.
Scott Golden here with the Power Perception Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to those of you who are new. Welcome back to those of you who are seasoned veterans of what we do around here. What we do around here is we give a spotlight to individuals who are looking to expand their creativity in all walks of life, from healers and energy workers such as today, authors, musicians, pro wrestlers, speakers, motivational speakers, all sorts of really interesting things. We've done over 350 shows on our main channel. We've also got a pro wrestling and MMA channel as well. We've done nearly 100 shows over there. So if you are into just about anything, nearly 400 shows for you to check out, variety of topics. Also want to give you a heads up that you can join us on social media as nearly, let me just do the math here, nearly, let's see, about 72,000 people already doing across two networks. You can do that via LinkedIn at Scott Golden, Golden Opportunities Coaching, our parent company, or you can do what 48,000 people, almost 49, are doing, and that's give us a follow on Twitter at PO Perception. Show links as well as archives and other great stuff are posted there, not to mention links to my coaching practice and working with me directly. All sorts of really cool things there, so you can check that out. Michelle McLemore will be with us momentarily, healing guide, helping people to create and maintain balance in their lives. Balance, such an important thing. Energy frequency works, so many other great things, workshops, all sorts of stuff. We're going to talk to her about the importance of energy and staying high energy, among other things. And let's merge that call now. And there we go. Michelle, are you with us?
I am, Scott, and thank you for having me today.
Thank you so much for taking time out of what I'm sure, just based on your bio, is a super busy schedule. You need about 30 hours to get everything done in a day. So kind of give our listeners a little bit of your background as it relates to what we're going to discuss over there.
Okay, so a little bit of my background is I'm a psychology teacher, a high school teacher, also psychoneuroimmunology, which is a study of how stress affects the mind and the body. I've got into energy work about 9-10 years ago when I was looking for assistance for one of my students, and also I was looking for ways to more naturally deal with a lupus diagnosis that I had since I was 18. And the energy work actually helped me to reverse that diagnosis and help a lot of people. I've worked with over 500 clients part-time during the winter while I'm teaching, and full-time during the summers, both one-on-one, face-to-face, as well as virtually. I've worked with people across the world and in my local community as well. I enjoy teaching people about energy and their own energy frequency, how they can improve that, and by improving their energy frequency, they improve their overall health. But I've also moved away from what just pure energy workers do, which is just basically working on the body, to tying in this three-braid focus, so mind, body, and spirit. So I tie in things like dream analysis, the nutrients, the exercise, stress management, all these other things in along with the energy practice to treat the whole body and then the whole spirit.
Good gosh, is there anything you don't do?
Oh, no, it's, you know, it's whatever we have time for, and it's really just a joy, so it's not an issue about time anymore. It's about how to help people and helping people learn what reality really is. It's way different than I knew over 10 years ago, you know. It's very cool.
And what's really interesting is the name of our group of networks is Power of Perception, because I was taught about a decade ago that perception is reality. and that stuck with me. So do you find that young people of this generation are more energetically aware, intuitive, sensitive, and more alert to energy frequency differences?
Yep, I definitely would say that, Scott. Actually, I have started a private Facebook group, and there are a lot of people who are actually my former students in it because they're so sensitive. And so they have all these experiences. They have higher sense perception at a quicker pace and recognize it quicker than most people, most adults that I know. They can feel the energy, you know, just using their hands, or can identify people's fields quicker. Their intuition seems to be much quicker, and they have less of a hesitancy to believe it. So, yeah, it's really interesting what's happening and being able to help them one-on-one to recognize what it is and that it actually can be a great strength.
Hey, sounds like there's some sound energy work going on during our call. That's kind of cool. I'm happy with that. In any event, though, can you talk to us a little bit about the difference between energy fields and intuition? Sometimes I see those terms interchangeably, but I do notice there's a remarkable difference. Can you educate us a little bit about the difference between energy and intuition?
Sure. So for me, and what I've learned over the last 10 years, is basically everything is energy. Our thoughts are energy. Prayer is energy. Your body has, and each of your organs has a different energy frequency. And all this has been documented in different research studies. A lot of great research out there that, unfortunately, a lot of people haven't heard about, but it is there. Multiple studies. So when we talk about energy, we're talking about an actual documentable frequency. Your food has energy frequency. Some of it not real good, like canned food, zero good. And then when we talk about intuition, we're talking about the ability to pick up or sense messages, vibrations, and that kind of thing. So you use our intuition to assess energy, to understand other people, to be able to sometimes predict. Otherwise, you can actually just use it just to understand and better empathize with where people are coming from. Does that make sense?
It does. So let's suppose we have a novice out there. I'm sure we have many who is looking at it going, I want to know what kind of energy I'm giving off. Like, what frequency am I operating from? Is there a way to figure that out, or is that kind of happenstance and kind of, well, you got to go to somebody who can help you figure that out? Are there some practical tips that we could give people to kind of identify where they are energetically?
Okay. So a couple different factors go into that. When people talk about energy, some people talk about positive or negative, and that's viewed or based on someone's personality and their mood or emotions. That can affect the energy you give off. So for instance, you might have been in a movie theater or a grocery store, and somebody suddenly walked up near you in line, and you suddenly felt a little better or a little worse. You're picking up the energy in their biofield. Some people call it an aura. So you can actually feel someone's emotions in the field. This causes some people stress at work because they can intuitively pick up the emotion someone else around them is feeling. When you have people really aggressive in their point of view, it's not just their physical body stance that you get or their volume level or their voice, but they're actually sending the energy that mirrors that emotion out. And so that makes some people actually reel backwards because of the intensity of the energy waves coming based on the emotion. There are other ways, your body organs. There's a device that was built, and I think it's out in California. I'd have to look it up, which company made it. But it actually registers the frequency of each of your body organs and for different foods and things like that. And they've documented that where a healthy organ or a healthy person starts to become sick, it's a certain frequency range. So you'd have to actually get one of those if you'd want to get tested with one of those machines for that type of deal. But some energy healers, they can actually just pick up by doing a body scan and sense through heat, or sometimes the sensations come off as prickles against the palm of the hand where you have blocks in the body or where your frequency is low, and they help clear those. Average person, you're looking at, in general, you want to always work toward eating the things that are healthiest and freshest for you. Essential oils that have the live frequencies in them that are the higher quality ones, less diluted, they can help raise your energy frequency. Coffee, believe it or not, decreases your actual live frequency. I know we have lots of coffee lovers out there. Sorry about that. So there's basic living things you can do to increase your frequency, but you know, part of it is just trusting yourself and saying, how do I feel? Do you feel sluggish? Then you probably have an energy imbalance. Do you feel negative, or do you feel uncertain about things? A lot of people are getting really sensitive right now with the upcoming solar eclipse. That's happening, you know, wide scale. So people might be more anxious right now, or they might be feeling a little more irritated than they usually are because of that sensitivity. They might not be able to explain an actual cause, and that's because it's more of the solar flare things and the eclipse coming up for that. But it's huge. It's everywhere.
What about things like global energy shifts? What I mean is, I can remember as a younger person, as a, let's call it teenager, you might run across a person who has anxiety or depression. Now, 20 years later, it seems that almost everybody deals with these really intense negative moods, or at least knows someone who does. Has the energy field shifted to make room for those negative energies more so, or are we collectively more focused on it, do you think?
So I think it's a couple things that are happening, and I love that you brought that up, because I work a lot with stress management and anxiety management for people, because they're feeling these emotions and identifying them more than people admitted in the past. But part of that is also, thank goodness, a more total body awareness. So we're not just looking at physical wellness or health anymore. We're looking at mental health as well, which the two are critical to look at together. So generation-wise and society-wise, with the energy shifts, and definitely if you look up Schumann's resonance and look at the electromagnetic field shifts that have been happening just in the last 10 years, the electromagnetic field around the Earth has been changing in frequency and speeding up. And that also affects, it used to be in line with the human brain as a similar frequency. And so that is causing this dissonance, and people are off balance right now, feeling it mentally, emotionally. And so it's causing people to take a closer look at themselves. How are they dealing with stress? If they're not dealing with it in a proactive manner, then it's causing issues. And so there, a lot of people are seeking help to get rebalanced, help their energies balance, and learn techniques to help them find more peace and joy in their life, which is a great end result, but better health in general and helping them have better relationships and both their personal and professional life all comes out of it, the same thing. But yeah, there's definitely worldwide shifts that are going on that the scientists have been tracking, and the researchers are looking at how that impacts not just the humans, but also the animals and the plant life as well.
You know, it's interesting to me that I don't even remember the name of the song, but there's a Jewel song somewhere from the mid-90s. There's a line in it that almost has become my personal mantra. It's, if I could tell the world just one thing, it's that we're all okay. And that I think the more we focus on the brokenness and the division, the more that puts out an energy that draws attention to brokenness and division. And we see it politically. We see it with gender equality issues. We see it with sexuality issues. We see it everywhere. And yet energy doesn't care about any of that stuff, right? It just is. And so I think the just is, the beingness of it all, has a big factor in helping people heal. No?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's beautiful. There is, when we focus, that, and that's the big problem, or the hesitancy, I would say. Part of what's going on is bringing awareness and bringing up things that need to be revealed, whether they're inequalities or feelings of inequality or disharmony. So part of that is it needs to be revealed, but the other part is we are all one. We need to recognize our relationships are a partnership with the earth, with each other. It doesn't matter your background or how you look or any of that. We are, you know, a symbiotic environment, and we need to be, and people haven't recognized that in the past. So if we only focus on the negative and look to divide and look for the differences, we're missing the beautiful thing about being alive, which is the similarities and what we can share and what we can learn from each other. So it is that fine line to walk right now, how not to agitate without a good purpose, you know, without the end goal of helping people learn to see the commonality and the joy.
I'm going to ask a really advanced nerd out question for just a minute. and you might not even have the answer. I don't know that there is one. Energy itself. Okay. Is the idea that energy is positive or negative, in other words, a charge to it, is that
right,
a human concept, and energy is actually neutral? Or has there been research done around the concept of people giving off positive, negative? My question in that is more, energy just is and we harness its purpose, or there is actually positive and negative energy? I hope I worded that correctly.
You did, and it is a bit complicated answer, because there's been some great scientific research done by, I think his name was Becker, about positive and negative polarity and healing with electromagnetics and that kind of deal. But as far as when we're talking with energy in general for my purposes of what I do, a lot of people believe that it's not positive or negative, it just is, like you said. We give it a connotation. The lower the frequency, some people will say that's negative, but it's just a lower frequency. And then how we deal with it or how it affects the environment or bodies, that's, you know, what we have to look at and decide, are we okay with that or not? The mood side of it, positive or negative, again, it's people react with different emotions. So is that negative, or do we just recognize, hey, that's where they are right now, and learn how to not let it bring us down or lead us to unhealthy decisions? So my answer is both, depending on what your area is and what your purpose is.
How much of people's physical disease is related to what they believe is possible in their body's healing?
I love that. I start workshops with teaching this concept. Your intention, which is your beliefs, plus your attention, which is how our sense of sensation, how we take information from the world, creates your perception or your reality. And you said something at the beginning of the program today, very similar to this. So it does make a huge difference. There's been over 3,000 documented cases of terminally ill people who were not supposed to recover whatsoever, spontaneously recovering and no medical explanation. But those people all had one thing in common. They accepted where they were, not that they were going to die, but they accepted the condition and decided they were going to live the best of their ability. And they weren't going to harness anger or bitterness or regret or those kind of things. So that belief system, you know, and there's different things in here, things that they did, whether it was meditation or prayer or Tai Chi or all these other different things that came into play as they chose to try to make themselves healthier. So that's just one small segment that the doctors and the researchers really felt confident saying, yes, we can agree at least a minimum of 3,000 based on people's beliefs, where their beliefs change their healing. The mind is amazing. Everybody's heard of placebo effect, the concept where people get better when they're given it basically a sugar pill or something that shouldn't have any impact. There's also the concept of a nocebo, where people get worse when they're told something that is a helpful antidote won't work, or probably won't work. And so the people believe that, and they don't get better. There's also the concept where they're just kind of in the middle of the road, where the person just decides, it doesn't matter what the doctor tells me, I'm going to have a positive mindset. I'm going to not just focus on the pill. I'm going to focus on my body, listen to my body, and try these other things, and they get better. So it's really interesting. We can't discount the mental beliefs. And for some people, though, that's based on their society they're brought up, their family structure, their religious beliefs. They have a harder struggle to accept that. Western medicine, you know, many of us are brought up that that's the only path. Other cultures don't have that mindset. They'll see a doctor after they see their acupuncturist, or after they see, you know, their shaman, or different things like that, if it doesn't work. So it's really realizing that the body was set up to heal. The body is always trying to create balance and return to homeostasis, but sometimes our mind gets in the way. So yes, if we believe, that's already helping us along the way.
You know, it's so interesting, because I've had that as a personal challenge for those that have been with me over the last couple of years in the journey of putting together this podcast and trying to get it on terrestrial radio and all that stuff. I've mentioned before, but I'll mention it here. According to Western medicine, I was supposed to be dead by 30. Within the next few weeks, I'll have surpassed that milestone limitation by 6 years. And a lot of it has to do with exactly that. The belief that what I have is this moment. Don't know if I'll have another. What I've done with the moments that have already passed matters, but not as much with what I do with this one. I think, you know, there's this infinite intelligence that all things are possible, right? That everything that is dark is light, everything that is light is dark, and all things can happen. But we kind of choose what does happen based on our actions match with our beliefs. That's where the power is. Just believing something doesn't matter. Just acting on it doesn't matter. But the combination of action and belief, wow, power source.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So you mentioned workshops. What kind of workshops do you have going right now? What kind of workshops are most well attended for you?
Okay. Well, for an example, next Wednesday I'm hosting one that's about focus and concentration for, back to school time for a lot of students. So it's for teenagers through adults. Because it can apply to both the school environment as well as most people's work environments. So, and that ranges, ties in different things like biophilia and plants, how they can affect your focus and concentration, essential oils, some basic energy work, a little bit of crystals. I don't do a lot with those, but a variety of things that people can do for themselves to self-manage and improve. Other workshops that have been really well attended include dream analysis and dream communication or lucid dreaming, intro to the human energy system, and basics of energy healing as well that you can use immediately on family and friends. I've done oils of the Bible, reflective listening and communication patterns. So, yeah, just a variety, but generally it's the energy system and dream analysis ones which are usually the best attended.
Okay, so just a simple linguistic question. How come essential oils, what makes them essential?
Okay, so essential oils versus regular oils. So there's a lot of different things in there, but how they harvest the oils is a big deal. It raises the frequency or lowers the frequency, the effect of them. The actual crop, how the crop is harvested, can increase or decrease the frequency in it. Essential just in general means you're getting to the basic quality of the plant, the basic oils within it. They could just say oils, but they say essential because you're getting to the core property of it that's helpful medicinally or mentally, emotionally, that kind of deal. There's a wide range in the United States of quality. So anybody who's looking into them, I'm not going to do a plug for the product that I believe in most right now, but You do want to research. You want to look to see if they will show you the actual live analysis charts online. If they won't give those to you, then I probably would stay away from those groups, because a lot of groups will dilute, and so then they're basically giving you a weaker product to start with, and you have to use more of it to get a similar effect. But some of the properties are quite amazing. There's actually a lot of research online also about studies that they've done and actually charting how it changes your brainwaves as well as your body.
I can honestly say, for me, and as a chronic migraine sufferer, migraines are no fun, by the way, for anybody who's ever had one. They're no fun. For people that suffer with them, you know they're no fun. But one of the things that, out of nowhere, I had a friend who struggled with fibromyalgia and some other immune disorders, and migraines was one of the things she struggled with. And she said, try peppermint. And I said, And she brought this little tiny vial bottle of peppermint as part of an essential oil, array.
One of the big, yep.
And she said, next time you have a migraine, sniff this. And I thought, you're nuts. here's the guy who has been on just about every anti-migraine medication available, and they don't work. And I'm thinking, peppermint's going to fix it? And so I did. About 2 weeks later, migraine pops up, and I reach for the little thing. And within about 10 minutes, it was a 7 when it started. It was down to a 3, and I went, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. What is that? but then, isn't that the whole concept of essential oils, is that there's things, scents and textures that the body needs, or is it something different than that?
So sometimes it's about an imbalance in the body, but sometimes there's blocks in the body, and the frequency of the oils will help remove those blocks and get your different systems running more appropriately. So like the peppermint is a wonderful, wonderful go-to oil. A lot of first aid kits will actually have them as a go-to. I'm really excited that it works for your migraines. A lot of people, they'll need something stronger. The peppermint will have to be reapplied, a little bit longer. But, yeah, it works great for pain, for ladies who have cramps. Sorry, that's a great one. First aid for infections and things like that. It's a good one. It's a hot one. So some people, it might be you want to keep it away from your eyes because the fumes are pretty strong. But, yeah, the way that it works on the body, how quickly it can move through the skin and into the bloodstream for certain things as well. The oils can both balance and clear blocks that are causing problems as well. So, yeah, it's just one of the many that are really useful to have around the house.
So let's suppose that we know that energy is something. I mean, it's been talked about all the way back to Nikola Tesla and Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton and all these really historically fundamental people. What do you think it would take for energy and the work with energy to be accepted within the Western medicine core as an alternative for insurance companies, something like a massage therapy to be covered or a Reiki session to be covered? What do you think it would take for our society to be more open to the more energetic forms of healing?
Well, I can tell you, I worked with a woman who had migraines and fibromyalgia, severe fibromyalgia, and she ended up having to take a medical early retirement. She was a school teacher, elementary teacher. And she had been seeing me. She occasionally would get massage, but she was seeing me for about, I'd say a year. And she actually asked for copies of all of our sessions because I keep track their pre and post assessments and what techniques we use and tracker pain scales and all these different things. She took them to court and showed them to the judge, talked about that this was what helped her heal, and the insurance company actually paid all the past fees. So there are pockets that it's, but it's taken a while to get there. On a larger scale, you're talking about using natural holistic things instead of prescriptions or in conjunction with prescriptions. That's a threat to some people and some organizations, and there's been some bizarre things that have gone on the last 2 years with people who are naturopathic doctors and people who are advocates of more natural healing that are basically putting up roadblocks to getting them recognized for insurance company's sake. I think more of the research has to be released to the everyday public, average person, so they are aware of it instead of hiding it. I can tell you there has been progress in Michigan. University of Michigan brings in to their medical students every year an energy healer to talk with them and explain how energy works and how it can heal the body. So it's not just in Michigan. Colorado has a lot of their universities are doing some of the energy research and other states around. So it's coming. It's just a lot of us wish it would happen overnight. Of course, it's not going to work that way, but it is out there, and the information is starting to percolate a little bit more.
The bio you sent to the team as well speaks to your teaching psychology. And so I wonder, how much does the psychological state of an individual affect their energetic state? Are they coexistive? Are they co-contributors? Are they different facets of the same animal, so to speak? How much is psychology and energy interlinked?
So there's actually a new subfield that was started in around 2002 studying how energy is related to psychology and exact question that you're asking. So there are psychologists now who study this as a legitimate career. So I guess the best way to understand it is everybody's familiar with Freud and Carl Jung as far as looking at the difference between your conscious and your subconscious. So both of them relate to your energy that you carry and what you store, what you choose to consciously deliberate on and what you don't want to deal with. And so it comes out manifest in your dreams, or some people have visions. Some people, it comes out in their nightmares. But that whole concept, they're not really separate. You have your energy energy being, I guess, your spirit, your go-to core. But it's not totally divorced from your consciousness. So when people talk about their aura or their biofield, you have these seven major layers of or bubbles that you walk around in. Each one of them relates to your physical body. One's your emotional state. One's your mental state, and so forth. So you can store things out there just like you can store in your cells. You've heard of cellular memory or muscle memory. You can also store in your biofield. And that's both conscious and subconscious thoughts. So it's really interesting. We almost have to redraw the iceberg metaphor that a lot of the psychologists like to use about your conscious versus your subconscious, because they are coexisting and almost overlapping when we talk about psychology in our day-to-day basis. We decide what are we going to address, what are we going to focus on. It's that attention thing again.
You know, I'm just fascinated by this, and I know that there is a group of our listeners who are really fascinated, and a group of our listeners that are probably really bored, because we're deep sea diving into some really interesting and dynamic stuff. I do a lot of work with people who have overcome various traumas, from abuse to loss of job to whatever. As an interventionist, one of the things I do a lot, I'm fascinated and curious by, has there been research done related to things like post-traumatic stress disorder and energy field and the changes both neurosynaptically and just in the psychology of a person and their energy and the effect of that? In other words, research connecting energy, trauma core, and trauma response. Are you familiar with any research done in that regard?
I'm skimming my brain right now. There's been a lot of research on different things. I know that there's been research done regarding energy work and the effects of on the brain for depression. I know that there's been on tracking a reduction in anxiety and physical pain. For PTSD, I know that there has been individual client base. As far as a wide scale, I'm not sure. I'd have to double check some of the research sites that I use to see if they have one specifically on PTSD. But I know that energy and oils and there's been different trauma releases that have proven successful for individuals. But I don't know how wide scale the research has been so far. They have done. There's a great energy therapist. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. He's all over the web right now, but he's actually has friends who have access to some of these different high-tech equipment used. And so they do like thermal readings before, during, and after on the brain and on the muscles and things when he's doing interventions. So you can actually see the colors changes and the inflammation go down and the brainwave patterns altering and slowing down or that kind of thing going on. So if it hasn't been documented, you can bet there's somebody who's working on it right now. But either way, the effects are hard to dismiss. I mean, sometimes for just, you know, and one of the things that's difficult with PTSD is part of the problem is that the memories with the trauma store in different locations. So that's why sometimes they have the emotion and they can't link to a specific cause why they're having it, because you're not just storing the hypothalamus, you're storing in different places. Your limbic system is involved, you know, it's kind of scattered, and that's why it gets disjointed at times. So it's really about how to reintegrate and make those connections, but also calming the body and helping them to not sense distress in every random situation. So it's a complicated thing, but there are great, great results being made.
And I also would think that the triggering of the memory, the actual trigger that would bring memory back, would be stored in a different place of the brain too. So you're actually dealing with three different locations, I think, unless I'm misunderstanding.
Yeah. No, it can be multiple. It could be three, it could be five. You know, the memories, they're actually finding that we store memories in a lot of different ways. You know, some we have olfactory memory sense. Some is based on our actions. That's more of your parietal on top of your head area. The problem is the connection between all these different storage locations gets lost, and that's what makes it disjointed. So, yeah.
So let's educate some people about maybe they're new to any energy practitioners. Maybe they're new to the holistic approach to healing. What are some things that if you're seeking out a practitioner outside of your comfort zone to watch out for, hey, avoid this type of person? What are some things to look for, hey, this type of person would be good? Some general rules around energy healers and do's and don'ts for undereducated folks.
Excellent, excellent question. So first, there's a lot of different types of energy modalities. So I want to address first, there's one called healing touch. And this was started by American nurses back around the 1980s in the United States. And the nurses set up this program, researched a bunch of different techniques from around the world, different cultures, documented the results, and then really strongly aligned it. So it's a very strict curriculum. Everybody does things, are supposed to be doing things exactly the same way, research-based. And the nurses actually can use it through the American Holistic Nursing Society. It's backed by them as well. They can use it for continuing certification programs. So that tells you there is a lot of credibility with this group. So that's Healing Touch. If you are looking for someone and you're not real comfortable with complementary medicines, I would look for a certified Healing Touch practitioner in your area to start with. That means that person's gone through all five levels. They've had to do over 100 hours of sessions. They've had to document the research like nurses would. They've had to do all these extra book studies. They had to have a nurse as their mentor for over a year, so they'd really understood what was happening on the body. So that's who I would start with. Reiki is, and the healing touch is not based on any spiritual religion or belief. Okay, so that's probably the closest to Western medicine to start with for energy work. Reiki is another one that's very popular, has a little bit less structure and takes less hours to get to call yourself a Reiki practitioner, but there's different levels of that as well. That was started by a Buddhist monk. The concept with that is to be able to use Reiki. It has what are called power symbols, and the practitioner has to be given the power to heal the divine energy from their teacher. Okay, so that has more of a spiritual base to it, and they don't believe that just anybody can do energy work. Healing Touch believes the way our bodies were designed, anybody can transfer energy, anybody can do the work to heal. It's just about learning the strategies and how it affects for effectiveness.
Healing touch and therapeutic touch. Same thing, same words, different words.
Different things. Therapeutic touch was the first group, the earliest group, I think, that started out. Healing Touch is a specific organization. There's Healing Touch was started by Janet Megnan, and she was the main founder. Then there was Healing Beyond Borders, which is their international group. So they're a very specific program. Therapeutic Touch was the first early exploring group.
I remember, and I don't even remember what it was. I think it was like a Unsolved Mysteries or Rescue 911 episode in the 90s where I first heard of the phrase therapeutic touch. And for some reason, I don't know why, it's one of those things that always stuck with me, that specific modality. And I don't remember the details of the story, but I do remember a person using a healing modality after a severe accident and it having a major impact on their recovery. And that was, gosh, we're talking 30 years ago now, or, you know, 25 anyway. And the memory of that still sticks with me. So,
Mike,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that, yeah, it's – so the concept that people need to understand is that your body – there's three basic parts to your energy system for the – for the very basic beginning. Okay, so you have what are called chakras, which are like funnels that pull energy into your body constantly from around you. You have, they feed the meridian system, which is the acupuncturist and acupressurist have been using for over 3,000 years. That's the meridians or the superhighways that moves the energy through. And then you have the biofield, which is basically the bubbles we walk around in. So energy law says wherever there's electromagnetic current, there's a corresponding electromagnetic field, basically your bubble. And your heart creates one, your brain creates one, all your muscles create one. Last year, they actually proved that every cell in your body creates an electromagnetic field. So basically, we're walking around in multiple bubbles. Okay. So what does it mean when it comes to healing? Well, any person can actually, and University of Colorado measured this with a I'm not going to be able to say it right. Actually, they measured a pulsing field, electromagnetic field, coming from the hands of a practitioner. Okay, so anybody can actually release these electromagnetic pulses or energy with intention, and it can be measured scientifically. And those pulses help to clear blocks, helps to move. Like I work with somebody who has edema, so it actually can help the lymphatic system clear and move and reduce swelling. It can help at a cellular level. I worked with a woman who had cancer, and her levels were off for getting her chemo on one day. And so she saw me the next day, and I said, well, let's for fun. Let's try this. And so we targeted her cells, and she went back in to test on Monday, and they said, what did you do? We've never had anybody recover this quickly. And so even at a cellular level, you can adjust blood production of the cells. You can reduce things. You can speed up bone growth. I've worked with a woman who had a broken leg, and we sped up her progress. for healing. It's amazing the different things that can be done. Just this week I worked on somebody whose psoas muscle was really, really tight. After an hour, she was able to stretch without pain. It held for a couple days till she got in to see a massage therapist. So we shouldn't underestimate what our natural body's response is and what another human being can do to help us.
The last question I would ask, because I don't know how all this works, but I'm open to learning new things. And several years ago, somebody who, and I've told people, I believe that energy is everything and everything is energy. I've said that a lot. And they said, well, wait a minute. So does somebody who doesn't believe in a creator or something spiritual, does energy affect them too? And my immediate answer, well, of course, your background wouldn't, you know, or your religious beliefs wouldn't impact the flow of energy. But for those who are atheistic or agnostic or have struggles with belief, does the energy field affect them differently in any way than someone who has a strong core or faith system belief?
So I guess let me say it this way. So we choose beliefs in our lifetime, what we're going to believe. But as far as when it comes down to the hard science and what reality really is, it will still affect us. We just may choose not to acknowledge it. I had a woman, I was doing doing chair sessions and an outreach at our American Legion. And I had worked on one person. She said, oh, you have to work on my mother. She went and got her mom, who had Parkinson's. She was having some different problems. Mom walks up. She's probably in her 70s. Her face is tighter than anything you know. You can tell she does not believe in anything that's about to go down. And I told her, I said, do I have your permission to work in your energy field? You don't have to believe anything specific. You don't have to believe this is going to work. But do I have permission? And she said, sure. She sat down. She kept the same expression the entire time. It was probably about a 15-minute session that I worked on her. She was sitting in the chair. Got done, and I'm thinking the whole time her expression hasn't changed and she must not be feeling anything. I get done. I thank her for her time and hope that she has better health, better reactions. And she looked at me, still no exchange in expression. She just said, I can't believe it. I said, pardon me? And she said, it worked. So you can set your intention based on your beliefs and your upbringing that you don't believe something, but it doesn't mean that the energy still won't work to move your blocks if you give permission for it. If you don't give permission, you are basically using an energy technique to shield yourself from the impact of the energy to the extent that your will allow it. So you can deny something, but it doesn't mean it changes reality. Reality exists outside of us as well as what we create.
So in the interest of journalistic integrity, what about the critics who say, well, energy work is just power of suggestion and psychosomatic? What could be said to those individuals?
There was a really interesting TED Talk a while back by a female doctor, and it was all on the concept of placebo and the people who were, you know, skeptics in general about the effect of the mind on the body. And her basic premise for her speech was, placebo is what we call what we don't understand. And I think the bigger question is, if you're about healing, does it really matter where the healing comes from or how you heal? Do you have to nail everything to a board and examine it? Or can you just say, wow, that worked, and I'm healthier for it? And then if you want to explore it more, you can. I think skeptics like to be able to see things in black and white. And because energy is less tangible for a lot of people, it makes it harder for them to even begin to explore it. But it's like the people who look at, if you actually look at the body of research that's out there that's done by credible scientists in double-blind studies, you know, following scientific ethical safeguards, the research is there. Once you see it, you know, at that point you're being a skeptic just for the sake of being a skeptic. You're no longer acknowledging what people have documented. And that's okay. And not everybody has to believe it. It's their choice on their journey. But I certainly wouldn't if I was going to be an opponent of something, I would be as educated as I could be, and that meant actually doing the research.
All right. So let's talk about the remainder of 2017 for you professionally, and goals, aspirations, and projects you're working on. I've got to believe there's a book in you somewhere. Just on the basis of this interview, got to believe there's one there somewhere. Learned more in the last hour than I probably would say I've learned in a year's worth of research. So strong endorsement for you. So what are you got going on that people need to know about, and how can they get in contact with you if they're interested?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. So actually, I'm gearing up to go back to school. I've designed a course called Psychoneuroimmunology, and it's also stress management. I had 101 high school students sign up for it this spring, so I start that. That's going to be turned into a course that I offer online. Probably not till next spring. School takes a lot of time. But so that's one of the things that's coming up. I do have a professional site on Facebook called Michelle McLemore Healing Guide, so they can search for me there and find out more about my services. I will still continue work seeing people one-on-one here and also doing my virtual sessions. I do have some workshops coming up throughout the year. I actually am working on a couple different books. One is helping people understand the energy. So it's taking that intro to the human energy system and energy healing at a very basic level, kind of like thinking about what do I want my children or my grandchildren to know early on so they don't have to wait till their 30s or 40s to learn about energy. That one's going to be a more simplistic, kind of like a coloring book deal. Then I have one for adults that I'm going to write as well, which I've started. So it sounds like a lot, but that's what's in the progress, what's in the works as well. I also have two private Facebook groups that I'm helping people. One is called Freedom from Anxiety, Stress, and Lupus, helping people learn how to use mind, body, spirit, and energy techniques to help them actually work through and hopefully conquer those diseases, just like I did. And then another one is called Energy Evolution, and that one is helping people who are in their awakening or have questions, metaphysical questions, helping them learn how to access their higher sense perception, understand what's going on with the world, and have a place for them to gather and in a safe environment with somebody that's trustable.
All right. Got to ask the question of the high school course. Do the young people get credit for this?
They do.
Is it an elective?
No. So because I teach psychology, there's actually a chapter in the book about how stress affects the body. And so I've basically taken that one chapter and expanded it out to a full semester course. And with the psychoneuroimmunology aspect of it, it's still considered psychology. So they're going to get a social studies credit counting toward their graduation requirements. And then if they want to take it again later to continue their stress management, at that point it would become a general elective.
Now where was that when I was in high school? I was learning about a bunch of stuff I didn't care about at all when I could have been learning about how stress would affect my life. Useful tool.
I know. I don't know why. It's just the timing. It's the right time in this lifetime to... my goal would be to actually be able to expand this out. I know there are such courses at different colleges. I didn't realize that until I started doing my research for my curriculum, but it's the time. And I think in the regular psychology class, I do a stress management unit, and I teach the kids a little bit about energy work, and they practice different stress management techniques. But it's taking that and expanding it out farther, because people, they're at their point. The students at this point are, like we talked about earlier, sensing energy imbalance, sensing their emotion levels quicker and seeing an imbalance, and they know it's not healthy. They know right away, and they, in my opinion, they need tools to be able to manage it. And a lot of the parents, you know, they're either working or stressed themselves, so they don't know how to help their child navigate what's going on in the world and how to help them have more confidence and deal with things differently. And people are always expecting schools to basically teach everything now anyhow, so I figured why not give them actual life tools. So,
all right, we've got a few minutes. We've got a few minutes remaining. Anything that you feel we didn't cover in the last hour that was a major oversight if we didn't?
We covered a lot of great things. I really appreciate the time to talk with you. I would encourage people, whether you're consider yourself a skeptic or someone who has some awareness about energy, just realizing it's nothing that is – energy is not linked to – a lot of people who have religious backgrounds think it's linked to, like, witches or Wiccan stuff, and it's not. Energy exists. You look around it. You look at the trees. You look at the animals. You feel it coursing through your body. Energy just is. It's nothing to be scared of. There's nothing wrong with asking questions and being inquisitive. And my goal, and I know for a lot of energy therapists, their goal is to help educate people so that they can have better control of their own lives and fulfill their life missions and their life passions. So it really should be something that is part of our daily awareness and part of our overall health management system. You know, it's really about your mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual balance. And once you do that, wow, your life can be so wonderful. So I encourage everyone to at least be open and do some research on that if you want to see the stats. And I know Healing Beyond Borders, if you go to their website, they do have some of the research posted. There's also some other scientific webs that have the research there as well. So, you know, lots of great things. People can email me at energy@michellemclemore.com if they want to ask more questions or if they're interested in working with me. But it's a wonderful world, and I know there's a lot of crazy things going on right now, and that's causing fear and unrest. We just need to focus on remembering, like you said earlier, if we be in the moment, do the best we can in the moment, that will take care of a lot of things. I wish everyone well, and I thank you again.
All right. Well, in that event, I do want to thank you for your time today. Also want to encourage folks who have not listened to our entire archive to go dig through, find the shows you like, ignore the ones you don't, and certainly enjoy the process of kind of deep sea diving through the work that we do here at Tower of Perception. Once again, I am Scott Golden, and I remind you, keep your feet on the ground, your mind in the moment. Until next time, everybody, follow us on social media at PO Perception on Twitter, Scott Golden, Golden Opportunities Coaching on LinkedIn, and we will join you again soon. And we thank you for your continued support as we try to make the world a better place, one interview, one day at a time.